Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, Tim Swartz, we learned this week that a very controversial figure who has been in the UFO field and the son of somebody really famous, the son of the inventor of the Learjet, John Lear, died. What do you know about John Lear, Tim?
Well, I know that, and I was telling you this before the show started, that he was one of the first people that I ever printed out material on what was then the new and great, wasn't even the internet then, was it? It was a bulletin board system that was on CompuServe, and it was, what was it? I think it was called UFONet. And John Lear, among some others, had uploaded a bunch of UFO material, which we now know was very spurious, and dealt a lot with all of the Dulce underground base and the abduction of people by aliens under a United States government treaty and all of that. But yeah, I mean, John Lear, I mean, he's a very controversial UFO figure. And, a lot of people love him and absolutely believe in everything that he said. And then there are others that, you know, despite the fact that he came from a very famous family and had what appeared to be, intelligence community information, not so much.
What I noticed here, one of his theories was about 9/11, that the plane could not possibly have hit the building.
Yeah, you know, I wonder if that didn't come from, because I think he was also working at the time with Bill Cooper, another controversial figure who ended up dying in a not-so-glorious fashion. One of the things I remember that John liked to talk about is that he thought that extraterrestrials were responsible for taking souls from people who had passed away here on Earth and transporting them to a processing station, I guess, on the moon. That was something that Tim Beckley told me that John had had discussed with him. So sounds like something you'd almost read from a science fiction novel. Maybe that's where he got it from. Who knows?
Well, there was a movie called Defending Your Life, I think. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a drama comedy where this guy dies and he goes to a place that's a way station where they decide where he's to go next. And he meets and falls in love with a dead individual played by Meryl Streep. And her influence makes him become good enough to overcome his deficiencies while he was alive to join her on the train to the next reality, whatever that is.
I don't think I've seen that one. That surprises me.
Well, you think right? Also something like this, Meryl Streep, but it was a kind of a romantic comedy movie. It's from 1991. I'm looking it up here. And it stars Albert Brooks in the lead role.
Okay. All right. I do remember that one. Yes. Okay. As soon as you said Albert Brooks.
Right. And he also wrote and directed it. Also features Meryl Streep, as I said, Rip Torn, as kind of the manager of this way station, and, of course, Buck Henry. And we don't remember Buck Henry. He's a comedian who was one of the co-creators of Get Smart.
Get Smart, that's right. Yeah, well, I think that John Lear's way station was a little bit more nefarious from the impression that I got from that maybe from the movie Life Force, where our souls were to power, you know, act as an energy source almost.
Soul powered. Preston Dennett, he's author of a new book called Symmetry, about the story of Dolly Safran, who's also joining us. Preston, before we go on with the book, do you have any feeling about John Lear?
Well, he's been around a long time. I definitely thought some of his controversial information was a bit controversial. I think, wasn't he the guy who put forth the idea that our own government made a deal with the Greys to trade alien technology and allowing them to do abductions?
Yes.
I think he was the first I heard that from, which I always wondered about. People latched onto that, and I never really found any good reporting on that. So I think Dolly might have something to say about that, actually, from a contactee's perspective.
Before we go on, Dolly, have you heard of John Lear?
Yes, I have. And John Lear is someone who has been heavily, deeply ensconced in military ops. You have to be funded and backed to do things like that in life. And once they own you, they get to use your rhetoric as their mouthpiece. And yes, I've heard of him. And yes, I've heard of all the controversial statements he made. And not one of them is actually in reality true.
Well, I think that's fairly obvious. As far as military disinformation is concerned, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, certainly his dad was well connected with the government. And I just wonder whether he ever encountered or didn't he work with Richard Doty, Rick Doty, who's obviously a former Air Force Office of Special Information agent for real and clearly engaged in disinformation and was one of the more curious guests we had on the Paracast. Oh, well, it's enough of those people. Preston, you got this book out called Symmetry about Dolly's story. How did you come by it?
Very interesting, actually. Dolly contacted me, and she was searching for someone who could tell her story in a way that was, I think, objective and, compassionate and thorough, backed by actual, facts. So there's so much speculation in this field. And like other contactees, she was referred to me by her ET contacts. So,
say what?
Yes.
I mean, yes.
This has happened to me.
Okay, so they're in touch with someone who claims to be from another world, and that person says, oh, go look up Preston.
Yeah. Yep. That happened not too long ago with a guy in England who called me up. He says, are you Preston Dennett? I'm like, yeah, I've never heard of him. He's like, I need to talk to you. I've had these experiences. The ETs told me there's going to be future disasters on our planet. Have you ever heard of anything like this? And of course, I told him, yes, that's a common message. And we talked for some time. He said, I need to tell you that, I had an encounter with the Greys, and they told me to look up a gentleman by the name of Preston Dennett. He had never heard of me. I'm like, wait, what? They told you my name? And he said, yeah. So apparently I'm famous, beyond Earth. So that's kind of cool. And a little bit like, wow. Yeah, that shocked me. But yeah, that happened with another contactee.
Maybe we should talk to him also sometime in the future. But right now, Dolly's story, what did she first tell you about what happened to her?
She was actually quite reticent at first. So I wasn't really aware of how extensive her encounters were, just that she was a lifelong contactee who had started from a very, very early age, 10 months or so, and went on through her life. And I wasn't really, I was aware that she was a conscious contactee, meaning she doesn't use hypnosis to recover her memories. But I really had no idea how extensive it was until a couple of years into speaking with her.
We have Preston Dennett, author of Symmetry, the story of Dolly Safran, who also joins us. Your guest co-host is the one and the only Tim Swartz, the man of 27 and a half voices. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud. Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
And Tim Swartz, our guest co-host, didn't use one of his special voices. That's the real one. We have Dolly and Preston. Preston is telling us how he became acquainted with Dolly, who apparently was told by something, someone, E.T., to contact him. So I just wonder, when someone says that, Preston, whether any of these events were not contacts with higher intelligences, but some kind of government experiment. It sounds almost like a disinformation attempt. What do you think, Preston?
Well, I have no reason to believe that. I think that our government is watching UFO researchers closely. I know they're watching UFO contactees closely. I mean, we've got first-hand information on this. So I do worry about it, but I'm very careful to vet witnesses and do my best to make sure that I'm not being lied to. But yeah, I am absolutely concerned about how our government is handling this subject. I think their record on this is heinous. I mean, they're lying, have been lying since day one. Really unhappy with how they're handling this. Even this whole disclosure process is, well, there is progress. I don't think we're ever going to get the full truth from them.
Well, of course, they're playing musical chairs, the government, and I say that in this way. They had this first study in 2004. They got $22 million allocated for investigations, which went on to Bob Bigelow, and even MUFON had a taste of it. Then they ran out of money, and they had another project, at least a different name. And then the 2021 military budget, they created the Pentagon UAP Task Force that was going to release periodic reports about their progress. They came out with one on June 25th, coincidentally the day after an anniversary of the Kenneth Arnold sighting of June 24th. And it really didn't say anything except, well, we can't prove or disprove, and we can't confirm ET origin or not, or whether it's from another country or not, and there'll be another report which there was not. And then in the 2022 military budget, they're setting up yet another UFO group, which, of course, we don't know anything more about because no one's saying anything. And now, of course, just the other day, the president introduced the budget for the next fiscal year, and I just wonder how that's going to address it. But one way to avoid the subject, Preston, is just to keep moving it to a different agency.
Yeah, that's one of their techniques. It's really quite distressing. This is why I'm like, I'm not so sure we should even bother looking to them for information. Ultimately, I think disclosure is going to come from perhaps the CE5 group or the ETs themselves. I don't think it's going to be the U.S. government, probably perhaps another government, but I doubt it's going to be us.
I would think, though, that the leaders of China and Russia, particularly, if they had any real evidence and it could give them some kind of strategic advantage, they go for it, and they haven't. Oh, on the other hand, maybe there's a worldwide conspiracy, and as bad as Putin is, and I sometimes call him putrid for reasons that are obvious, that as bad as Vladimir Putin is, maybe when it comes to possible extraterrestrial visitations, all of the countries have no choice but to work together. But that's an ultimate conspiratorial view. Anyway, let's go back to Dolly's story, Preston. All right, so she contacts you, says that the entity she's in contact with have referred her to you, and you're talking with her over a period of time. How'd the book come to be?
Well, initially, I interviewed her and put her in a chapter in my previous book, Onboard UFO Encounters. But as we continued to talk, she described how extensive her experiences really were. She really wanted to come forward and tell what she knows, because we do have a lot of disinformation on the subject. A lot of the information out there is fear-based. It's not fully accurate. I've been able to sort of build a fairly, I think, I hope, an accurate picture of what's going on. But it's very piecemeal. And a lot of it is from people who are fear-based or recall their memories through hypnosis or just partially. And Dolly's story is very extensive. And after she finally became comfortable with me, because she went through her whole life basically keeping a secret, doing interviews with her was sometimes like pulling teeth. I'm like, I need more details. And I'm sorry. I'm just so used to not talking about this. But she really wanted to put her story forth to sort of encourage others who are like her. And I know there are a lot of them out there. I've talked with a lot of contactees. And every now and then, I meet someone like her who has fully conscious experiences, does not experience missing time.
to be blunt about it, Preston, obviously we want to hear Dolly's story, but as you know, contactees in the past, especially the early ones in the 50s, didn't have the best reputation in the field because it seemed at least they were making up their stories. And I'm talking about George Adamski in particular.
Right. Well, I think the contactee era never really ended. It was pushed underground by this, you know, huge flood of missing time reports and grays. And there are several major researchers like Tim Good who are taking a second look at some of these contactees, like Daniel Fry, who might be legitimate. What I like about Dolly's case is it's not just resting on eyewitness testimony. She has taken some really interesting moving films of UFOs. I saw them myself. She's got multiple corroborating witnesses. It's a lot more evidence than your average contact case, for sure.
Is there any place we can see these movies?
Yes, Dolly does have a YouTube channel. And I hope to be putting out some of these videos as well on, you know, social media. The book was literally just published a week or two ago. So we're just really starting out. You guys are kind of getting the scoop here. This is one of the... We did a convention last week. I did play some of the videos there at UFOCon 2022 up in San Francisco. So, yeah, we're going to be putting out all this information. And, yeah, it's a great case. It's much... I think this is the most extensive case I've ever researched and perhaps even read about, honestly. You may have heard of Jim Sparks. He was another very well-known conscious contactee.
Well, with Jim Sparks, we kind of made him very uncomfortable because one of our previous co-hosts asked him a very common question, and that is, if you're aboard the spaceship for this length of time, what about when you had to go to the bathroom? It sounds like a silly question, but in that particular case, there was never an answer.
He was. I asked Dolly about that. You can ask her. She will tell you. Ask all of those questions. You know, food, do they sleep? Do they poo and pee? Do they go to the bathroom? All of it, yes. Other people have told me in bits and pieces, but Dolly will lay it out for you.
We're not going to get too graphic on a show on terrestrial radio, but on After the Paracast, maybe we will. We have Dolly, we have Preston, and we have Tim, and I'm Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
The UN's former chief prosecutor for war crimes has called Russian President Vladimir Putin a war criminal. Carla DuPont is talking to media in her native Switzerland, marking the release of her latest book. She has called for an international arrest warrant to be issued for Putin, adding there were clear war crimes being committed in the country. The Kremlin invaded Ukraine nearly 2 months ago. DuPont says suspected war crimes committed by both countries should be investigated. U.S. Treasury officials are arguing that sanctions are weakening the Russian currency despite gains this week. The exchange rate as of Friday is 85 rubles to equal $1, just shy of the rate prior to the February invasion. A senior Treasury official said weekly inflation in Russia is a direct effect of sanctions from the U.S. and allies. The Dow and the Nasdaq was essentially flat at the end of the week. This is USA Radio News. E-commerce giant Amazon says it's disappointed with the outcome of a union vote at one of their Staten Island facilities. Employees there voted to be the first Amazon warehouse to unionize. In a statement, the company said they are evaluating its options, including filing objections based on inappropriate and undue influence of the National Labor Relations Board. Meantime, employees of the Amazon Labor Union celebrated in Brooklyn outside of the NLRB building where the votes were counted. Chris Malls, a fired Amazon employee who helped organize the union, spoke to WCBS-TV. He called the victory a revolution for a better quality of life.
We're fighting for $30,000 now. We're fighting for longer breaks. We're fighting to be shareholders again of the company. We're fighting for job security.
The House, largely along party lines, voted to legalize marijuana nationwide and eliminate criminal penalties for distribution and possession. It now goes to the Senate, where Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is working to introduce a similar bill soon. It's not clear that the legislation would pass in the upper chamber. You're listening to USA Radio News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
You see what I mean? Tim Swartz can be possessed. Dolly, let's talk about this story here. So, you had your first encounter when you were 10 months old?
Yes.
How does one remember being anything when they're 10 months old?
It was so unsettling and so out of my experience, even at that age, that I never forgot it. It was traumatic. I was just laying in my crib. It was daylight. I saw a big bright light going through the Levalore blinds in my room. And I started levitating up into my crib, you know, up high. And when I made it to the top of the rail, I freaked out. And I tried to flip over and dive back down, definitely trying, and that's the last memory I have of that. It was so traumatic, it never left my mind. I always remembered it.
Were your parents around? Do you recall?
My mother was home. She was in another room. She thought I was napping, and my father was at work.
Okay, when you were in a position to communicate verbally, did you then tell her of this?
I don't really think that I would have, because it knocked me out. In other words, my memory abruptly ends at the top, flipping over. It may be that I just didn't remember it after that. I don't know.
I have one memory of being in a crib. So obviously I was less than a year old. And all I recall is I heard people talking in another room. And I was unhappy, and that's all I remember.
Yeah, this affected me in interesting way. I do remember being terrified of levitating again, and I used to stick my foot through the rail holding on. I didn't want to do that again. I remembered it enough to know that it could happen to me again. I assumed it would in my limited capacity of 10 months, and so I always slept with my foot through the rails to protect myself from being taken out. So in a weird way, that is a corroboration. My mother always wondered why I did that. I mean, they would literally, I'd sometimes flip sideways in the crib and stick both my legs through the rails and just sleep with my legs hanging out. And they always wondered why I did that. Well, I knew. I just never talked about it. I was terrified.
Did you ever, ever talk to your parents about what was happening to you?
Yes, I did. My experiences after that were ongoing, and they multiplied exponentially. And my father was also well aware of my plight. My father was also a contactee. My mom wasn't so happy about it. She completely freaked out most of my entire life over everything that was going on.
Let's talk quickly about your dad. He was a contactee.
Yes.
Okay. I assume he's no longer with us?
Correct. He passed away in 2014.
Okay. What do you know about his experiences? Because maybe before we get more into yours, we frame briefly what happened to him. Did he tell you all these things or what?
He eventually started to, when he realized that my contacts were extensive and I was really having a hard time, especially at the age of 14 when I was determined to completely realize, you know, to connect all the dots of my experiences, he finally explained to me, I have something to tell you, we're going to talk about it, and he did. His very first experience was with his brother who lived in Wisconsin, and they took a turkey off the farm. They were farmers. And they went to the woods where Big Lake was, Big Park Lake, near where they lived. And they killed it, and they plucked it, and they spitted it, and were cooking it. And the dummies forgot to take the pocket out of it, and it exploded. Boom, all over them, everything. And they ran to the lake with it, trying to clean it up, clean it out, realize their stupidity. And both of them stood there, he and his brother, staring across the lake because they saw light. And it got higher and higher over the lake. It zoomed across the lake at them and went over their heads. My father realized that he was rooted to the spot. He couldn't move. It froze him. His brother was standing behind him. And he said the next thing he knew, he was on board a craft. And he spent a couple hours with them. He never saw his brother on the craft. Doesn't know what happened to him. But they talked to him extensively about his life and what they knew he was good at and what he was probably going to end up doing, which I find interesting. My father's seriously dyslexic, was, and didn't learn like anybody else. He never went to college, and yet my father was a registered architect and engineer in 26 states. He worked for NASA. He passed all the state boards first time out the gate, and he has got two honorary degrees at Florida International University, where he sometimes taught classes in architecture. My father was a genius of incredible proportions, and he did many, many jobs for the government. He was also a lieutenant colonel, airborne ranger, and I spent my life being in awe of him, and we had many, many conversations about life and what was really going on around us.
Is his name available online so we could look him up?
Yeah. He's Robert J. Safran, S-A-F-R-A-N. And you can look him up by either his architectural prowess or in the military. He's actually in the museum on Fort Benning. He's very honored there.
Very well. He didn't, though, write down what he experienced.
They told him that he was already good at drawing. He was already drawing buildings freehand. He was always interested in architecture from a very early age. He said he didn't know why. He just knew that he was somehow going to end up doing that in his lifetime. And they pretty much encouraged him, told him to go that way.
Did he just have the one experience, or did he have multiple experiences like yours?
He's had multiple experiences, but I cannot, unfortunately, speak to you about all of them because his governmental NDAs are extensive, and I'm part of it. I cannot divulge.
He told you, even though he was under government NDA, how does that apply to you?
he had his own office, and I was a sneaky little thing. I could unlock any door anywhere, anytime. And I used to go into his study and look at all his drawings. He eventually gave up and started teaching me how to draw and taught me how to draft. And so, yes, I knew what was going on. He used to take me to work with him. I used to go to NASA a lot and hang out. You know, a few astronauts. He worked with B.D. Cooper on the underground, you know, the underground city, you know, where they do everything at Walt Disney World. All their magic goes on under there. He helped design that with B.D. Cooper. That was one of the first times he worked with him.
Okay, let me understand this. Were you under NDA?
Yes, I am under NDAs. I also worked for the government. I was in the Army DOD. I somehow got in the back door. I have juvenile diabetes, and so we had to figure out how I was going to go in, and I went in a certain way so that I could actually go in and work for them. I'd worked for the U.S. government before that, for the Internal Revenue Service for years, and that kind of helped me. I had a pretty good security clearance.
So when the Beatles sing Tax Man, with you it's Tax Woman.
Yes.
I have to watch out for you. Are you still working for the IRS?
No. I escaped a long time ago.
Yeah, well, you know, if you look at, by the way, at the lyrics for the Beatles song written by George Harrison, it was about the state of the income tax system in the UK at the time, where they had to pay like 95% of their income in taxes if they were above a certain wage scale. So you kind of think here, the Beatles making tens or hundreds of billions of dollars, and the UK is just loving it. Hey, we have Dolly, and we have Preston, and the book is called Symmetry, and we have Tim Swartz, the man of 27 and a half voices, and someday we'll learn the 28th. I'm Gene, you're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com.
Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code George for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word George and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click follow, share, give, and pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Let's get back here to Dolly Saffron's dad, Robert. And he never wrote a book. He had experiences similar to yours. Anyone else in your family have any crazy encounters?
Not really, not that I know of. I know that my brother might have, but he ended up having a huge incident when he was a small child, and it burned out, I'm pretty sure, his ability to communicate telepathically, and he became adverse to the subject after that. My mother was adverse as well. I never really understood why she wouldn't talk about it with me at all.
What about more distant relatives?
I do have a couple of relatives. I will not disclose who they are. Why? For reasons that it is up to them to come out, not me, to tell
sure.
about them.
Okay, so the first experience is 10 months old. Now we understand more about your background. When was the second experience?
I was about 2.5 years old. My mother was pregnant with my brother, and I disappeared from the house. We were napping. My dad was at work. The house was locked up, and my mother got up to check on me, and I wasn't in the house. She called my father. I mean, she looked everywhere, couldn't find me. They called the police after about half an hour, 45 minutes of not finding me on their own. And a few hours after that, they found me about 6 miles from the house at a little U-Totem store off of Miller Road in Miami. I had underwear on, which is what I usually wore to sleep in my naps, and I wasn't a happy camper. My feet weren't messed up at all. They knew that I had been dropped off. They just didn't know who dropped me off. When I walked into the store, the man saw me, and I was very upset, and they couldn't really get out of me. I mean, I knew who I was. I told them that. I didn't know my address. Pretty much I was too upset to talk about it. I knew where I lived. I gave them that general information. The fact that there was an APB out on me, they instantly knew who was looking for me. And the policeman picked my mother up and my dad and took them to the location because I wouldn't let anybody touch me. When they got there, I was freaking out. And they were trying to get me to tell them what had happened, and I just said I went for a ride. And I couldn't explain it to them who, what, where, when, or why. All I wanted was a red balloon, which had been promised to me. I've been bribed with red balloons ever since I had my tonsils out the first time. So, yeah, and I didn't get my balloon, as a matter of fact. But, yeah, that was the first one. They went home with me, changed all the locks in the house because they really weren't quite sure what was going on. They obtained an ex-police dog. Her name was Heidi, who was to keep an eye on me at all times and signal to my mother that something was happening. And that didn't really work because E.T. used to like to take me and the dog after that. I would disappear with the dog. But that was the first real shakeup. Shortly after that, I was very... I was always looking for something to do as a kid. I walked at 8 months. I talked at 9. I was speaking full sentences by a year. And I was always busy. I hardly ever slept. We had these closets in Florida that have a top closet, you know, with the doors on them. And I wanted to get in it so bad because I liked to hide from my mother. It became a game for me. I was disappearing, and it just became a game. So I liked to disappear on my own, too. I was really wanting into the top of that closet. I sat there for a couple of days thinking about it really hard. And the next thing I knew, I was up in the top of that closet. I levitated to it, shut the door, and laughed. My mother found me. That freaked her out, too. They, again, changed all the locks in the house. They couldn't understand what was happening at all. And it just went from there.
Okay. At any point here, and you're remembering things now, when you were in the crib, when you were a toddler, you don't remember, obviously, communicating with anyone or anything.
Not until I was about five and a half. I was, we had just gone to see Mary Poppins, and I was outside. I was a very musical child. I used to sing all the time, and I was trying to sing all the songs from the movie. And I was laying in the grass, looking at the clouds, and all of a sudden I saw this giant umbrella coming down, and it was slowly rotating. And I now understand that was a cover memory for me. They didn't want to scare me to death with a real craft coming over my head. And they brought me up into the craft, and I met a tall gray. I call her Mama. She's still alive. I still associate with her. And she explained to me, you know, that I would know her my entire life and that it was okay. And the next thing I knew after that, I flashed into my house, whereupon which my mother almost walked over me down the hall, because it was in the hall, where the hall meets the living room. And again, she freaked, like, how the hell did you get in the house? And because she didn't hear me, nothing. And I absolutely remember that. It's fractured memories. In other words, I remember those, you know, it's like camera shots. I remember the craft coming, you know, the umbrella-looking craft. I remember going to see Mama, and I remember flashing into the living room, but I don't exactly remember how. That didn't start to congeal until I was much older. And I knew I was having experiences. They would come and get me. I would see a craft coming. Once they landed in a big field, and I turned and ran, and that was the end of that. They got me. I have, like, snapshot memories to the point that it was really getting to me. You know, when you have experiences and you don't understand what's happening to you, you're either crazy, you know, or it's real. And I was very, very determined to prove to myself what the hell was going on to me. And so I decided, this is it. I will no longer allow them to do this to me. Or if it's me, I will realize I'm nuts and try to get help. And when I was 14, I was out. I used to take astronomy lessons at the Miami Transit Planetarium. My brother and I did. And so I was out in the back, and I had my telescope out, and I was doing homework. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning, and my father's come to bed. So I packed it down and went in the house, got my dress for bed. We had these, in Florida, we had these huge, huge jalousy windows. You could crawl out them if you wanted. And in my room, my bed was by one set of my windows, and it had a big... are you there?
Just continue.
So I had my elbows up on the tile of the ledge of my windows, and I was looking up at the sky, thinking about things. And I saw about 100 lights in the sky that I knew didn't bloody well that they were not stars. They were moving. They started pairing off and going in different directions, you know, east, west, north, and south. Two pair of them started to come down over my area. One of the two pairs went toward Dadeland Mall, which is on Kendall, and then the other one came out west where we were at over our property. I watched it change colors when it came through the atmosphere, and it got closer and closer and closer, and it eventually turned like a bright blue-ish white color, and then I saw that it was metallic. It came that low. The trees started whipping around. No sound, just the trees, no wind, nothing. The trees were whipping around, though. That fascinated me, and I'm staring at this craft, and I'm thinking, this is it. You have to remember this. So I started memorizing the craft, and I started underneath it, and I worked my way up, and when I got to the ports, I was shocked because I saw two beings looking out the port windows, and they were staring right at me. I became tremendously concerned and afraid at that moment, and I thought, turn and go under your bed. I didn't know what to do, you know, knee-jerk reaction. So I started to turn to dive under my bed, and my entire room exploded in blue white light. And I don't remember anything after that, but I did wake up a few hours later on my floor wearing somebody else's clothes. Inside out, back was the whole thing. And I was shocked. I got mad. I was upset. I was pissed, shaking, and I could hear my mother in the kitchen. She was cooking for my dad. And I went and took a shower, got some my clothes on, and went out there. She said, you know, make coffee, and I made coffee. We could hear the radio on. Paul Harvey was on. And I started asking my mom questions. You guys see any lights last night? I'm trying to corroborate at this point what happened to me. I'm looking for any corroboration whatsoever. And she just turned around and went, what are you talking about? And I said, you know, lights, anything. And she put her finger in my fist and said, no. And I thought, damn it. You know, I can't talk to her. She's not going to listen to me. And the news came on the radio at that point. And first thing out the gate is two Dadeland police officers reported seeing UFOs last night in the sky.
We've got Dolly and Tim and Preston and Jean. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.